To continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures for today. Be reading from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. The words will be found on the screen. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here on this cold morning, that we might join together as a community, that we know the warmth that comes together as we worship together, as we sing together, as we hear your word. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray all of this in Christ's holy name. Amen. One of the biggest fears about planning for an event is wondering, do you think you're going to have enough? You're going to have enough chairs, or you're going to have enough tables, or enough food, enough space? Especially in a time where so many people don't RSVP. I don't remember what RSVP stands for, but a lot of people don't RSVP anymore, and you usually just have to go with an estimated guess about how many people you think are going to come to your party. Today, in today's scripture, you know, I'm not sure that they had ways of RSVPing either. There weren't websites that people use for wedding planning like The Knot or Wedding Wire or Lovebird. There's all kinds of wedding websites that people use nowadays. Some people don't even send invitations. They just send a save the date and go to our website. When planning an event, we usually try to have a balance where we won't have to worry about having enough, and we also don't want to have too much. Maybe the word we're looking for is we're hoping we have plenty, plenty. We want to be able to enjoy ourselves without worrying if everyone will be able to get what they would like. Because when they can't, well, we know that it creates stress and anxiety in a situation, and it can kind of take the mood of the party a little bit down. This morning, we're looking at the first and one of the most well-known miracles of Jesus. The word miracles and Jesus, they just kind of go together. When people think of Jesus, they think of miracles and of healings and the ways in which God, Jesus, was at work in the life of the disciples. And we like to know that Jesus transforms lives. He does that in miraculous ways. We relate to this scripture of kind of wedding and events and having enough and not having enough. And while wedding customs differ widely throughout history and across cultures, most of us can relate. Jesus, his mother, the disciples were invited to attend a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and when planning a big wedding today, we usually think of planning for the big day. My big day was, you know, June 30th, 2012, and we had the big day. Everything leading up to that, we were planning for that time. When was your big day? All right, great. Your big day, you're planning for that big day. And then we plan for maybe a honeymoon after. However, in the days of the scripture, the bride and groom celebrated their marriage, and then instead of just going off on a honeymoon together by themselves, well, they had the 7-day wedding feast at the groom's home. People would come and go visiting the couple, bringing gifts to celebrate them. Talk about getting to know your friends and family by immersion. Here you go. You know, if you can make it through these 7 days, maybe you'll make it. And they invited Jesus to the party, but during the celebration, they ran out of wine. Before it was over, they didn't have enough. They didn't have plenty. And the situation was a crisis for the family who shouldered the responsibility of hospitality. And in their case, they didn't have a HEB right across the street to run over to or a corner store down the road. So what did they do? What would they do? Mary, the mother of Jesus, became aware of the situation before Jesus, and when she noticed that they ran out of wine, well, she went to Jesus and said, "Hey, son, they have no more wine." To which Jesus responded, "What's that have to do with you and me? We're guests here." And to the modern ear, this response sounds kind of harsh and disrespectful. However, Jesus was simply saying, I'm a guest here, and this is not my problem to deal with right now. It's their problem. I do not feel that I've been called by my inner calling to respond to this situation. Maybe at the same time, Jesus also knew that more wine could result in a drunken guest, and maybe it was to not create this expectation early on that Jesus could be a cash or goods dispenser for anything and everything that we want. Jesus' response acknowledges that he was waiting for that inner calling from God. We receive this inner calling by God by listening for the Spirit of God to speak to us and by the affirmation of those we trust and love. Jesus was creating a distance between himself and his mother, and this point is that Jesus must be guided by his inner calling from God. And he says, "My hour has not yet come." As we continue reading in the story, we see that for one reason or another, Jesus changed his mind and intervened. And he goes on to say, "Fill those 6 jugs over there with water." And these were big jugs. They were about 30 gallons. They were these purification jugs that were used for washing face and hands as the Jewish people entered into worship. I think I have a picture here. There's a picture of the jug. It's kind of encapsulated in this protector, and this is when I went to the Holy Land in 2009, and we were able to go to the places that this was thought to be one of the locations of the miracle. And so this is one of the stone, one of the stone water jugs that Jesus is, that we're talking about in this scripture. There's another picture. Is there another one? There we go. Kind of, you can see how goes down a little ways, the deepness of the water jug used. And so they filled these jugs to the brim, and Jesus said, "Take some of that over to the chief steward and let him taste it." And when he tasted it, it tasted like some delicious wine. And he said, "Everyone serves the good wine first, but this groom has saved the best wine until last." And he didn't know that it was Jesus that had just turned water into wine. He noticed that the chief steward did not say, "Wow, some miracle worker has turned water into wine. That happens all the time." His assumption was that the groom was holding back the good stuff. How people would usually serve the good wine first, and then after people became drunk, they would serve the cheaper, less quality stuff later, but wow, this person serves the good stuff last. Only Jesus' disciples knew that Jesus had produced this good wine and recognized this miracle as a revelation of his glory. And they believed in him. It's really unknown why Jesus responds by helping in this situation, but he does. And in doing so, Jesus shows the abundance of the love that he has for us. A love that provides more than we could ask for or ever need. A love filled to the brim. He uses a situation of chaos and of stress and of anxiety in this situation to do something transformational. He takes a group of people not worried about not having enough and hitting rock bottom and doing more than they could ever dream or imagine. It's so much more than just turning water into wine. It's about taking the rules of the old and encompassing something new. Using these old water jugs used for purifications and making them into something new. Transforming the old religion into a new religion, the new religion that Jesus was bringing about forgiveness, about grace, for those who don't ever do anything, that don't deserve it, but desire to receive it. This was the first of many signs that Jesus did to show his glorious presence as the Son of God. I think the point is clear that when we remember to invite Jesus into a situation and lean upon Christ, then change takes place. That sometimes we remember how things used to be, and Jesus is saying, there's newness about. There's new to come. Don't lament the good old days when Jesus, we thought Jesus could only work this way. That we think Jesus was smiling upon the church then, but is not happy with the church now. The wonders that he marked in the past can be worked among us today. The wonders are to come as Jesus takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. As Jesus takes our mistakes and throws a little grace upon them and turns them into opportunities to learn and grow. As Jesus takes the mundane and makes it mind-blowing. This is what happens when we invite Jesus into the situation. Turning water into wine was just one of the ways in which we see Jesus at work in the scriptures. But Jesus is still at work today, changing us, making us new for the world around us. Jesus is still about miracles. I put on my sweater today, and Amy was like, "Why are you wearing that sweater?" I was like, "Well, I'm talking about Jesus turning water into wine. I'm talking about miracles at work. How God is bringing hope into situations, present struggles. Not because we've gotten certainty about the future, but because we're clear about who God is and who we are. And we don't know what the future holds. I go to another appointment this week, and I don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Our hope is not just in wishful thinking, but in a reasonable expectation based upon all that we know about God, Jesus Christ, healing people, providing food for the hungry, turning churches into places where people can find necessities they need to live, like clothing, like a space for the disabled, a place where people can break addictions of drugs, a place where life is renewed, a place where relationships are restored. God is the source of all of these good things, as a miracle of his love that he has for you and for me. We all have these gifts to share with the world, and we're called to love our neighbor as ourself, no matter what skin color, what economic situation, or what political opinion one may have. And we don't have to hit rock bottom. We don't have to wait till we feel like there's not enough and our canister is empty and there's no more to respond to Jesus. But God's grace is ready to transform us all today. And so may our life be filled with love and with hope, with forgiveness and grace. And if there's a little wine in there, that's between you and God. And may God bless each one of us with the miracles of today. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your love for us that has been poured upon us in miraculous and marvelous ways. God, may we acknowledge those miracles around us and the ways in which you're at work, the ways in which you continue to do new around us with new life, new blessings, restored relationships. God, may we be attentive to those things and not just ignore them. May we acknowledge your blessings as each day of life brings. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this community of faith and the ways in which you're at work in and through it, that we might be a source of your overflowing love that you have for each one of us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.